There's a tshuva on Perek Tesvav Seif Ches, chapter 15, paragraph 8. This is connected very much to what we just learned. The last Seif of Kook was talking about Hakarvas HaChait and the recognition of Chait, the recognition, acknowledgement, and acceptance of the truth that a person has done things that he shouldn't do and is living a life that is not the way that it should be, that itself means that the person is in the world of tshuva. He's entered into the world of tshuva. The tshuva is incomplete, it needs to be carried out the poil in reality. But the Hakar Sachet means that he's already in that place, in that parasha of tshuva. And the light of tshuva is already shining upon him with all of the koiches of tshuva that we spoke about last week. So here, Rav Kook continues. Again, these were said at different times, these were written at different times. He didn't write these together. It was put together. Kishaha Adam Shav B'tshuva. When a person does tshuva, Ve'einenu Maniach Es Tshuvasai, and he doesn't let go of his tshuva, he doesn't abandon it, Afal Pi Sheyesh B'yado Dvarim HaMa'akrim Es HaTshuva, even though there are, as we spoke about last week, and we started here, I think, there are Dvar Ma'akrim Es HaTshuva. We know from the Gemara, from the Rambam, and we know each person has in her own life. Aside from the official minyus, those things that the Rambam tells us that that stand in the way of tshuva, that make tshuva very, very difficult, and schlep things out. So Afal Pi Sheyesh B'yado Dvar Ma'akrim Es HaTshuva, even though this individual has unfortunately done things that are holding tshuva back, that are very much in the way of the complete return, Ad Kedei Kach Shenidma Lo She'en Yochel Oshuv Aleihem, that it seems to him that he'll never be able to change. He'll never be able to do tshuva for these things. First of all, he saw, or maybe somebody showed him, he saw his name on the list in the Rambam. It's a very uncomfortable thing to see, like, a list that says that there are certain Jews that can never do tshuva, there are certain Jews that have no chelek in olam haba, and then you see your name on it. It's a very bad thing, and it hurts a lot to see a name on a list like that. So a person that saw his name in the Rambam on a list in the Gemara, that's a very big ma'akiv. That's something that stands very much in the way of a person going forward. And then to make matters worse, it could be you heard some speech or some shiur, or somebody decided to go into that particular Rambam in depth, or that particular Gemara, to expand upon it, and brought some more sources and some other places where it said not only do you not have a chelek in olam haba, but the place that you're going to, no Jew should ever go to, and it's, you know, it's all terrible, terrible things. So instead, a person sees this, and he hears this, and he turns back, because shenidma lo she'en yochel oshuv aleihem. And the worst thing about all of this is that when a person can open up a Rambam and he points his finger to a Rambam and he says, you see, the Rambam himself says that I can't. Or like it says on the Zohar Kaddish, a certain Indian where the Zohar Kaddish says that this person can't change. So then someone was kind enough to show you that Zohar and point it out to you and even translate it for you. And you say, Shkoyach, And now you showed me that my name is also in the Zohar. I thought it was in the Rambam. Now I find it's also in the Zohar Kaddish. So then the person's fear has been confirmed by such makairis, such places as Rambam and Zohar, so then that's it, he's finished. But all of that, and all of those ikuvim that are in the way, we know from the Svar Makadoshim and from Pnimius HaTaira, from the inner light of Torah, that those are only nisyanis, those ikuvim, like any of the ikuvim in life, are only imaginary walls. How could it be that there's a Rambam like that, there's a Zohar like that, when one learns the pnimius of the Rambam and the pnimius of the Zohar, as it was revealed to us through the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his Talmidim, then we understand, as Rav Kook is going to explain here, that there's absolutely nothing, there's no such thing as the Baruch Shalom being beyond the reach of a Jew. It can't be. There's no such thing that Chalila, a Jew, can't get back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there are special programs that the Baruch Shalom has to dig underneath the Rambam, and to dig underneath the Zohar, and underneath the Gemara. There's special secret tunnels and passageways for Jews who don't give up. So even though this person is Shemid Milosh and Yochel Oshavalayim, that there are things that are in the way of tshuva, forget it, I can't do this, I can't change, I can't do tshuva, even though in my heart I feel like I'm ready to and I would like to, but it's not. I'm not able to, there are things that are ma'akrim. Mikol makom, this person, even though Lamaisa, he's held back. I mean, he sees that he's being held back, and he's having a hard time moving forward. Mikol makom hu oiches b'rayin hatshuva, as we learned in many many places in Eretz Hatshuva so far. Rav Kook comes back to this very often. The person still holds on to the idea of tshuva. He doesn't let go of wanting to return. Many people would just say, forget it, it's a problem, there's nothing to talk about, and they leave. They go back and they just bury themselves deeper in their aveirus, Hashem Yachin. But this person is oichiz b'rayin hatshuva. Even though practically he doesn't see how he could change his life. And he feels that what the Rambam is saying is true, that there are things that are in the way of my changing. And he feels when someone tells him that Zohar, he says, I know, I can tell you myself that I've done that Aveira, and that Aveira is pulling me down to, I can't get past it. The Aveira, how you do it, the Zohar talks about, I can't get past it. But at least this person is Oiches Berai Natshuva. He's holding on, Oiches, tightly. Achastiv Leapenu, says in Pasi, in Shir Shir. I hold on, I don't let go. He's oiches b'rayin hatshuva. Rayin hatshuva, the practical, he doesn't know how to live out the practical right now. But the thought of tshuva, the rayin, the thought, the idea, the rotzen of tshuva, he doesn't let go of. Then sof, yovo gam kein lo shuv me'esam adorim ma'akvim is hatshuva. Sof, in the end, as Rav Kook ended the last seif, with the pasuk from Navi, how all of the valleys will be raised, and the mountains and the hills will be lowered, and so on, and all of the rough places and bumps will be leveled. So in the end, this person, sof, yovagam kem loshu me'isam adram ma'akum satshu. Sof, in the end, this person will be able to miraculously. It will seem to him like it wasn't possible, but sof. He'll also do tshuva from those things. He'll stop doing those things, and he'll overcome those things, which Chazal, the Rambam, and the Zohar Kodesh say, "Ama akrim is a tshuva," that they keep you out of the world of tshuva.
Why is doing averes? That's what he's saying.
He still hasn't stopped.
It's like going to meet the Holy Church.
No. Because he's the Rayan HaTshuva, the Rotson to do Tshuva, he's not deluding himself. He's not deluding himself. The person that's Torah v'sheretz biyado, that goes to the mikvah while holding on to the sheretz, holding on to the tumah, he thinks that when he comes out from the mikvah that he's Torah v'kaddish. He thinks that he's a kaddish v'tumah. He walks out from the mikvah, and he's ready to give out shirayim by Friday night. And he doesn't even think about the fact that he went into the mikvah holding his sheretz. This person is never holding on to a sheretz. He's holding on to shiratzim, and he knows a sheretz. He knows that he hasn't overcome those things that are ma'akmas at tshuva. I mean, his heart is broken, and he wants to do tshuva. And a thought of changing is alive in his mind. Not that he thinks that he's changed and he's already toiveled. He knows he hasn't toiveled. He knows he hasn't. And a lot of this type of a person says, I'm not going to be toiveled until I get rid of the sheretz. Unlike the first guy that's toiveling with the tum in his hand. This guy says, I can't really toivel. I can't go into the mikvah with this sheretz. And he doesn't know how to get rid of the sheretz. He goes like this, he goes like that, you know, he does everything, you know, sometimes you get something, you can't, it doesn't go, you know, you try everything and it sticks. He doesn't know what to do, he tries, he goes, he shuckles, he does. It doesn't go. So he says, I can't go into the mikveh, I have this sheretz, I can't go to the mikveh. And it breaks him, and he davens, and he's eiches, b'rayin ha-tshuva. So sof yova gam kein lo shum, oysam ha-dvar ma'akvim ha-tshuva. And then he will see the mafreg means retroactively. Now, once he's already changed, and he's taken gone to the mikveh, and he's come up, and he is kaddish v'tar. Now he's able to look back and see that those weeks or months or years before he actually got rid of the sheretz, and he was oiches b'rayin the tshuva in his mind and in his heart, he didn't let go of the thought of tshuva. When he does tshuva, when he's zayich to do tshuva, when the self finally arrives and he does tshuva, then the Rebbeinu Shalom shows him that l'mafreya, shows him retroactively that back then the light of tshuva was shining already very strongly in his life. There was already a light of tshuva, which he thought that I'm not in the parasha of tshuva because there are things that I'm doing that are the antithesis of tshuva, so I'm not in the parasha of tshuva. So I'm outside. After he does tshuva, he'll be zarech to do tshuva, then Hashem will show him and he'll feel and he'll understand that the light of tshuva was shining on him even back then, while he was surrounded with all of his shrotzim, with all of his aveiros, that even then the light of tshuva was already upon him. Of course it was not complete, but Hashem will show him, it'll be a very big nechama for him. When he understands that all of that vayibim achashverish was part of it, was already in the world of tshuva, it was already Purimdik. I mean, when they were living then, the vayibim achashverish wasn't Purim. For us, it's Purim, so it's very good for us. Purim night, Bailel Purim, so we open up the Megillah and we hear the familiar sweet words vayibim achashverish. Who Achashverosh on the Vayit Kodesh? We saw. So we hear. You see, we already know that has a good ending. So we already. My kids got in trouble in school yesterday because they already did Purim shtick this week in school. The teacher didn't like it. They're already fooling around doing Purim stuff in school. They got Zviz and Magdim. I said to my daughter, there's no Purim shtick before Pasha Zachar. There's no such thing. Purim shtick is only after Mechias HaMalek. If you do Purim shtick before Mechias HaMalek, then it's not right. It's not pure. After Mechias HaMalek, then we're already in the parasha of Purim. But there's no parasha Zachar. On parasha Zachar, there's no Purim. Zechira. Huh? No, there's no Tosefta. Yeah, Purim is getting longer now. Perm is getting, it's getting longer. Perm. It's the perm and shulish. They can have it ready in America. You'll get, they're going to make it on Shabbos and Sunday. They, Monday, they're still going to be brochim sleeping Monday morning. It's not going to be, the Zman's not going to start. The Seder's not going to start.
3 days?
Yeah. No, in Yerushalayim. I'm not talking about Yerushalayim. I'm talking about New York.
We got a copy.
Yeah. There isn't any of Purim Shulis and Chutzlaritz. There's a Tfisa of Kedusha. But to start Purim Shtik before Parsha Zohar is certainly not, there's no Tesefis like that. But we all know that it has a good ending. That's why the kids want to start early. We know there's a happy time. But I have to go through Parsha Zohar. I had enough of the Amalek. But I have to start with Amalek. Nobody wants to talk about that stuff. We already had Amalek. Last Thursday was Amalek, plenty, a big serving of Amalek. Last day of Shabbos, those Levites, was a big helping of Amalek. So then you come to the Hebrew Achashverosh. But when you were in Shushan, when that was happening, you didn't feel that. When you were, that sentence about Hebrew Achashverosh didn't make you smile. It made you cry. Now when we hear the words of Hebrew Achashverosh, Hebrew Achashverosh, it's gevaldik, Hebrew Achashverosh. It means there's going to be a Suda, Shalachman, a Skval. It's going to be a terrific day, Vahim HaChashverosh. But when you were in Shushan, those words, Vahim HaChashverosh, they were bad words. Vahim HaChashverosh, Ay, Hu HaChashverosh, HaMoylech, and Ofim Weh, Mihoyde Varkush. Even in the neighborhoods right over here, it feels like, even if you live a million miles away from him, you still feel like he's sitting on top of you. That's how bad it was. HaMoylech, Vahide Varkush. But when the person does Shuva, Once Purim takes place, then you look back and you see, that was Takin the whole time. That was the Baruch Shalom. The whole time there was a light of Tshuva from Vahibim Achashverosh, and now we can already say all the Torah on those Pesukim, and we can dash on all the drashas, and we could see all the hints that were already happening from the beginning of the story, from the party, and Bixen and Sarish, and what Marcha was doing here, and what she doing there, and what's up. Now we could see after the Tikkun. Now we're able to see that the light of Tshuva was shining very brightly in Shushan HaBira when it says Vayhi b'Achashverosh. Now we see. So Cook says that Oz Tia Oiras Tshuva L'Marfeg D'Lamayid. Then when the person looks back, when he goes back, then he sees that the light of Tshuva was shining very brightly. It was there. The light was on. It wasn't that you were dragging around in the darkness. It felt like it. Just like in Shushan, it felt like it. But it really wasn't. The light of Tshuva was already shining. And when finally that light bursts out, it breaks out of the Meitzar, the light of Tshuva breaks out of the confinement of a person's Averis, out of the blackness of a person's life that's being led in a way that's not holy. Now it's, remember, this light that was there from the beginning was held back in the horrible ugliness of those ikuvim, of those aveiros that are so strong that they hold back tshuva. Tshuva normally doesn't let anybody get in its way. Tshuva is a formidable opponent to aveiros. Tshuva doesn't usually let anybody get in his way. He's tough. He's strong. Tshuva is strong. Doesn't let get. But there are certain opponents that give tshuva a hard time, and that can confine tshuva. And tshuva struggles with these are very strong opponents, those things that are called, those aveiros that are marked from the tshuva. Those certain aveiros that are stronger than others, for whatever reason, we're not going to that now. So those aveiros have the ability to pin tshuva down in the wrestling match, and the tshuva is held down and pinned down. So now when finally Sof sof, the time for the light of tshuva to emerge has arrived. It doesn't just come out. It doesn't just emerge. It doesn't just come out. it explodes out. It explodes out. And sometimes it takes to the last number of the count, using, you know, a muscle from the sick, depraved world of wrestling or boxing, whatever, you know, from those, you know, crazy things that go and do for fun. So, a person who's able to sometimes. When we were growing up and we saw those wrestling matches, we ourselves were doing stuff like that. Sometimes, when it looks like it's down to the last number of the count, all of a sudden there's a shrie, there's a scream, and all of a sudden the one that had no kaichas, and he was pinned down, he was a second away from being destroyed, all of a sudden he gathers together all of his kaichas, all of the kaichas, and he throws off the opponent in such a way where he gives him a clap, and then 1 second later it's just v'nahapechu. It's v'nahapechu, mamish. You wouldn't even believe it. You were looking 1 second before, and then you rub your eyes because the other a second before this guy's on the mat, and the other guy's on top of him, and then a second later you see the whole thing is over, and they go ding, and they hold this guy's hands up. And walks away, and he's the champ. You saw things like this. And the iris hatshuva, the iris tshuva, is so great that when it comes out from the meitzah, when it comes out from that confinement, from being pinned down, from being held back. It was held back by the ma'akfim, by those ugly avarice, the hold back tshuva. It was held back, it was imprisoned. But when it comes out, the mitarech ha'ikuv magdailam, then tifal b'koich az v'chazak ma'ay. Oh, then it comes out in such a strong way, powerful way. He's not a regular Jew. He's not a regular Yid. He's not a regular Jew. That's why even what we call now the Heintege Bala Tshuva, what we call now Bala Tshuva, he's not talking about now the Bala Tshuva from nowadays that they weren't raised in religious homes, they didn't know. And the people that were born into firm homes, so they knew from the beginning. He's talking about regular Tshuva, to do Tshuva, any one of us, whatever, Tshuva. But we can understand that also as a mashal. There are people whose Yiddishkeit was held in confinement for so long. Not that they knew that they were even doing it, theirs. But the Eretz HaTshuva, the light of Tshuva, the light of Hashem, was held back for so long that when they come out of jail, when they come out of the confinement of Tumah, they come out with such an explosion. And the people who come from the from homes, they're not sure what to do with these guys or these girls. They're not sure what to do with them. So the Baal Tshuva comes out like, he comes out, you know, with that explosion, with such kaiches and such strength, with such what Rav Kook calls over here, b'koyach oz v'chazak ma'oid, they come out. So the ones who are called the from birth, as much as I detest those categories, but the one who's called from birth, like he looks at the Baal Tshuva, it makes him a little bit uncomfortable. Where the guy davens, the way that he conducts himself, he doesn't have to do that. He's making me uncomfortable. He reminds me about how empty my life is, and my Yiddishkeit, you know, doesn't have much going for it. He doesn't like that, but the Baal Tshuva makes the frum uncomfortable. And the frum will tolerate it because they think it's cute and it's sweet, and give the guy a couple of months, a year or two, he'll be like the rest of the chevra. He'll be okay. He'll be dead, like lifeless and uninterested like the rest of us. But when he comes out from when he comes out from being pinned down in the world of Tumah, Baal Tshuva comes up, man, his gloves up and like this, and then the rest of the chavra stand like the ones who come from homes, you know, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do. There's a lot of energy. They're not sure what to do with this energy. And all that the people are from birth that they channel into, you know, into other things or kiddush and stuff like that. So the Baal Tshuva comes out with such davening, with such a rutzen and you know. Like, so the guy, so the nice from birth guy has this Baal Tshuva over his house Friday night, and this Baal Tshuva wants to sing, do all this stuff, and it's already getting late, and after he was asking a lot of questions, and it was going off, schlepping out, and it's already late, and then they're finished, so then the Baal Tshuva says, "What are we learning? What are we learning tonight?" So he was going to learn, you know, Maseches Shena, you know, Maseches, that one of the favorite Maseches, the 25th parak of Maseches Shabbos. You know, he was going to a parak of Shena. What are we going to do? What are we learning? What are we learning? What time is the mikveh open? When are we going? When are we going to the mikveh? What time does davening start? What time does davening start? Well, it starts officially. Did you hear that word? Officially, it starts. Officially, it starts at 8:30. It's officially, but the island doesn't come like they know that. No. When does it start? 8:30. Okay, we'll leave. We want to leave 8:15. When does the mikvah open? So the from guy doesn't get it, you know, he doesn't know what to do with this guy. So he tells the person who sent him over, "Do me a favor, you want to, you know, I can't do this, it's too much for me, this guy." Okay, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. And that koyach va'oiz is a mashal. We're just using that example of a person who wasn't from, who came from, with a koiches, but any person, not just somebody that didn't know about Yiddishkeit and became a person that knew, and that he was held back and trapped in these Devarim HaMa'akimus HaTshuva, in the ugly things, these, so that a hope that a, so when they come out, when the person comes out from the Meitzar, Tifel B'Koyach Oz V'Chazak Ma'ayim. Very, very strong. Very, very strong. Rav Kook says that these individuals, these people who were trapped in the jail of those things that officially hold back tshuva, that are on the list of the Rambam and the Zohar, things that hold back tshuva, those who finally come out from that, he says, are from the choicest and most exalted of the species of tshuva. That's from the highest types of tshuva, of bali tshuva. Now, those are not the ones who come out from the little aveiralach, the ones who come out from the big aveiralach, who were in aveiras that are makmas at tshuva. Not that, God forbid, a person is allowed to ever say chas v'shalom, "I'll try that aveiras, I can come out, you know, stronger." I'm not talking about that. That's echtav al shuv, and must be the person that ends up doing tshuva. It's not, he deludes himself. We're talking about a person that unfortunately ended up in these inyanim, and his tshuva, Rav Kook says, the tshuva of this person is the tshuva that of this person who comes out from these aveiras that were officially ma'akiv as a tshuva, that were beyond tshuva by the books. This person is from the highest Baal Tshuva. See how Rav Kook words it in a minute, from the highest Baal Tshuva. The Tia Ma'aminim HaNivcharim Shel HaTshuva. Minim HaNivcharim, those who are most chosen, or the highest. This is the comes out the highest and greatest Tshuva, and he come out the strongest Jews. It's an interesting thing. Davka on this person, who the Zohar says, or how the Rambam says, that forget, he can't do Tshuva. It's Fafal. He's not going to be able to do tshuva. Davka, these people come out to be the strongest Jews in the world. The strongest in the world, if they come out. If they're oichis barayin tshuva, they don't let go of the thought of tshuva. When they come out, they're the strongest Jews in the world. Achoitrim es ha-machteres. What does it mean, machteres? How do you translate machteres? What's machteres? Huh? A tunnel, underground tunnel, a tunnel. Machteris is a tunnel. Rav Kook is referring to the Gemara. In the next sentence, he says by name Menashe v'Chaverev. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Dal. The Gemara talks about Menashe the king. The Gemara is telling us about a person who had such a history of averus that it's beyond anything we could ever, God forbid, think of, such averus, what he was doing. And he was a great person. And great people, when they do averus, their averus is also very great. And he was in a very, very bad place. And he was on the list, he qualified for the list, you understand? For the bad list. He had, not only did he qualify, he was the Rebbe of the bad list, Menashe. And Chazal tell us that the Bnei Shalom made an offer to Menashe. And even the angels themselves were shocked, because according to all the rules of Tshuva, this guy is beyond Tshuva. There's nothing to talk about. He's out. He can't do it. He's not allowed. And the Midas Adin would simply would not allow such a thing to take place. And the Baruch Shalom made an offer to dig a tunnel, to make a machteris. It says, "Vasa Kadosh Baruch Hu machteris brekiah." Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a sideway, a tunnel, beneath the Midas Adin, an underground, and reaches out his hand, kalapayshid yad anaisnam lai, reaches out to pull up such a person, if the person wants to, if he's oichis berayin hachuv. So if Cook says over here, these are people who escaped through the underground tunnel. Because according to the rules and regulations, according to the official rules of Tshuva, it was Rafalm. It's nothing to talk about. He's on the list, the bad list. It says, people ain't lehem chelik l'olam haba. People have no chelik in olam haba. A person has no chelik in olam haba, the feeling is, if I have no chelik in olam haba, like it says by Acha, so I'm not going to be in olam haba. So I might as well just have a good time here. What's the tachlis? This person didn't go to it. The person was oiches b'rayin at tshuva. He didn't let go. He said, the emes is the Baruch Shalom. So then, these are the ones for whom underground tunnels are made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They themselves build the underground tunnel. The people themselves build. And the Baruch Shalom meets them in that tunnel. They're digging beneath because api seichel, there's no place for them to go. There's nowhere to escape this prison. They're in a prison, so they dig, and they get underneath, and they escape, and they meet the Baruch Shalom in the tunnel, who is digging for them from the other direction. The Baruch Shalom makes a tunnel for these people who are officially, according to the rules, anybody must kabul, are unworthy of being welcomed back to our people. There isn't anybody here, Chas v'Shalom, comes into the sugya of Menashe v'Chaveiriv. And a person has to take to heart that there's no such thing that we can't do tshuva. And in our level, and who we are, we have to be also from the chaytri hamachteris, from the underground. Even though we're not like, God forbid, in such a way. But a person feels himself that the normal path is beyond him, that he can't do it. If he has to do something different. That's what we're learning about in the Sipur Maisis, Rabbi Nachman. He says that I saw Shvil Manhatzad, those who have been learning the story of the lost princess, that there's a road that he saw on the side. Right, remember? The Sheni Lamachus, the second in command, when he went to look for the lost princess, the regular way didn't work. He had to find, he saw, oh, it's a Shvil Manhatzad, that's the underground. The side side, little side road. That's the underground, that's the tunnel. That's the person that's found the Shvil Min HaTzad. K'menashe v'chaveyev, which Reb Tzadik explains there. The Mishnah says, Eilu, these are people she'ein lam chelek l'olam haba. The Mishnah is in heaven. These are the people of no chelek l'olam haba. And not only that, he says the damable generations. There are no chelek l'olam haba, types of people, aveyers. And the Gemara says that the Dor Shei Rishum has said that they have a chelek l'olam haba. Means those who are looking for hints in Tanakh, in the Psukim, they could find an olam haba even for these people. Reb Tzadik says that Dor Shei Rishum is, the word Raisha means residue, something left. It's called the Raisha. Dor Shei Rishum is, he says, even the person who did all the worst avaris that are imaginable, but he's still seeking to find a Raisha of holiness within himself, a residue of holiness, something that's still good within himself. Dor Shei Rishum is say, every Jew has a chelek l'olam haba. Even the worst sinners, every single person has a chelek l'olam haba. You have to be Dor Shei Rishumos. U'keshem shemakim shabalei tshuva imdim, sham ein tzadik migum richam lamaid. The same way that the Gemara tells us in Brachas, that in a place where balei tshuva stand, the tzadikim gemurim can't stand, you know, the balei tshuva is so high. That's the proportion between the Baal Tshuva and the Tzaddik, that the Baal Tshuva is in such a place. So he says, in the world of Baal Tshuva, we also have such a ratio. Kein b'mokim shebaal Tshuva sheshavu, so too. Those Baal Tshuva who return to Hashem, af al pi shebiyodim advarim ha'ma'akim es ha'tshuva, even though they had to overcome aveiros that officially cannot be overcome, these Baal Tshuva, in the place that they're oimdim, Ein Baalei Tshuva Pshutim Yichalim Lamed Sham. Regular Baalei Tshuva, over, I don't want to use the word, but over regular Aveiros, can't be in the place of the Baalei Tshuva who overcame those Aveiros for which there's no Tshuva. The same way we have this formula of B'mokim Shebaalei Tshuva Oimdim, that where the Baal Tshuva is, the Tzadik Gomer is not in such a Madrega, the Tzadik Gomer is not in such a place as the Baal Tshuva, so too, in the world of Baalei Tshuva, there are Baalei Tshuva who are oimdim, who are in such a level where the regular Baalei Tshuva can't reach that level. So Davka, the one that was on the mat, and it was down to the ninth number, I guess that's how they count to 10, right? It's down to 9, and there was no way to come out, prison, jail, locked, everything. And this Yid, Ma'amish, was a Benahapaychu, Asher Yishlo to Ayyudim Haim of the Sinair, and he was able to get out of that. So he becomes a person that Rav Kook says that in the world of tshuva, in the place where this Baal tshuva stands, the other Baal tshuva can't be in such a madrega, this madrega. Even though a minute before, or whatever it was, a week and a year, this person was, everybody said he's finished. This guy can't ever do tshuva. He's on the list, he's on the Mishnah, he's in the Rambam, he's in the Zohar, he's finished, he's down. There's nothing to do about it. And a minute later, he's the greatest and the strongest. He's the highest person in the world. That's why Rav Kook says such a beautiful thing. Ein ba'al tshuva pshutim yichayim l'amad sham shehem nachshavim l'gabi oysam ba'al tshuva shebo loshu ubiyodim hadvarim ha'akim as tshuva k'may tzadikim gomim l'gabi ba'al tshuva. It was the level of this person, the level of this type of a ba'al tshuva who overcame those aveiros that are ma'akim as tshuva, his madrega is compared to the madrega of the Baalei Tshuva who are higher than the Tzadikim Gemur. So in the world of Baalei Tshuva, this person is the Tzadik Gemur. Is the Baal Tshuva, rather, in the world of Baalei Tshuva. He's the biggest Baal Tshuva in the world of Baalei Tshuva. So the other Baalei Tshuva can't. They look up to him and they say, wow. And you understand, these are the people that were doing the biggest aveiros that were on the list that they can't change. And the others, Baal Tshuva, they were doing things that they shouldn't do, nobody should ever do, but there wasn't such aveiros like that. And now they look in awe at the big Baal Tshuva. At the big Baal Tshuva. Wow. U The same way that it is in the world of tshuva, it's in the world of davening for everybody in tefillah. Tefillah bechlal, not just in the tefillah of the Baal Tshuva. Bechlal in the world of davening. Why? Because yeshnam dvar hamakim is at tefillah. In Hilchos Tefillah, in the Rambam, in the fourth parak, we have a list of things that stand in the way of davening. Ma'akfim es ha'tefillah. There the Rambam talks about certain conditions, even physical conditions and so on. The greatest ma'akiv, of course, on the list is kavan, meaning if a person can't concentrate. He just can't think straight. He can't concentrate on his davening. That is the biggest ma'akiv to davening. The greatest obstacle to davening are thoughts that are not of the davening. And everybody knows that it's dafka during davening that you have thoughts that you otherwise during the rest of the day you wouldn't even think about. But dafka by davening, that inyan of kavana is very, very, very hard to achieve. So there are things that are ma'akim as hatfila that stand in the way of davening. Certainly one's aveiros also stand in the way of davening. It's not a question. But besides that, umishin in Malaysia kol eila hem biyadai umikom akum ho eiches b'chazka b'yisar hatfila. And you have a yid that just like this unbelievable tshuva, that even when he was down, he never let go of the rotzen to win, to do tshuva. So this guy also, even though he's struggling, he feels that he doesn't have kavana, he's not able to have kavana, and he still goes to davening every day, and he still tries to say the words, and he still does his best. A person who seems to him that all of the things on the list that hold back davening, this guy has. He has problems with. That's what he feels with himself, that he has a problem with all of these things. And nevertheless, he holds on to davening. He still davens. And he wants to daven. And he comes back to daven. And he opens up his siddur and he starts again and again and again. He tries to think of ways. He doesn't stop calling out to Hashem, this guy. He still davens. Even though the kavanas can't, and it's all the ma'akrim is at tefillin. The Rebbe will make a tunnel for him. And he'll be able to escape. And in the end, all of those things that are blocking davening will be blown away. Will be blown out of his life. In a way that he doesn't even know how. Like a nace. And the same way that when the Baal Tshuva comes out of that prison, he comes out with an explosion. He doesn't come out a regular person. So too, this person's davening doesn't come out like a regular davening. Comes out, because it comes out with all the tefillahs of 10, 15, 20, 30 years that were held back. The same way that the Baal Tshuva comes with all the kedusha and all the elokus that was held back. This yid comes out from the prison that was holding his tefillahs. He comes out not only with the tefillah, he comes out with all of the tefillahs that were inside, that were held back, that were pinned down. All of those tefillahs now explode. It's not just the tefillah of today, Erev Shabbos, Parshas VaYikra. It's the tefillah of a thousand days and thousands of Shabboses and thousands of Shachris, Mincha, Maariv that never went, that were prisoned, that were held back. And now, when the tunnel is complete, and the tunnel, the Baruch Hu makes a machteris, and he could, why? Because he kept it up, so then there's such an explosion. if he wants, if he's oiches b'rayin atfila, he wants, he thinks of things, he learns from, he tries to get out of the prison, he tries to daven with kavan, so that then he's promised that not only will he come out, but he'll come out with such an unbelievable tefillah, because it's going to be the tefillah that has in it thousands of tefillahs. They will come out, the whole chevra comes out with them. That's what Rav Kook explains. Then the tefillahs come out from prison. When they come out, they come with great force. All of the obstacles are blown out of the way. It's like a joke, mamsh. Everything is pushed away, blown out of the way. The gevura shamayla, with a gevura, with a strength that comes from a place higher than this person. He didn't even know he had such strength. He never knew that he had such koyches. The gevura shamayla. I once explained years ago on Shabbos Agadol once that the seder begins with halachmanya, and you say kol dichvin, kol ditzich. If anybody is hungry, come here. You're invited to eat with me, right? That's how the seder begins. So Rav Kook in his peyush on the Haggadah that's in the seder, you can buy it separately too, but it's printed in the seder. So Rav Kook explains all the mafreshim are asking. What kind of an invitation is that? Everybody's already at the Seder, and when there was a Korban Pesach, then for sure, everybody was already, all the menuyim, you had to designate who's going to be by your Korban Pesach before. So that you can't have outside people coming at this point. So what are you standing there by the Seder saying, whoever is hungry, come here? What kind of invitation is that? Who are you talking to? Everybody's already at the Seder. But the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to have other people all of a sudden show up. So what's the halach ma'anya? So Rav Kook says a magnificent, magnificent thing. Of course his words are such a song. His words are mamish a song that he writes. If you have a chance, take a look. Rav Kook says, you understand what it means? A person who is a slave, he says a Jew by his very nature is giving and kind. There's nothing as kind in the world as a Jew. There's nothing that wants to give as much and to share as much and to help as much as a Jew. But when a Jew is a slave, when we were enslaved in Egypt, a slave becomes obsessed with himself. He has to worry about, where am I going to get the next crumb from? If I better finish this, he's standing up, he's going to give me a clap. So a slave, the worst thing about slavery, Rav Kook says, that the slave becomes wrapped up in himself. He becomes selfish, he has to. He can't think about anybody else, he's just in himself. Therefore, Rav Kook says that on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we became free, the first thing that a Jew screams out is, whoever wants to eat, I have for you. Not that he's speaking to anybody in particular, but he's saying is that I'm free. My ability to give has been unleashed. And therefore, it's not a matter of whether he could actually invite somebody. He screams out, looking for a guest. He says, because he has to give, because he couldn't give. He was artificially held back by his torturers, by that which is by the paro in Mitzrayim that he couldn't give. But now when he breaks out of the chains of Mitzrayim, he screams out, kol dichvin, kol ditzich, anybody, anything. He just wants to, because that's the koyach of a person who is freed from prison, of selfishness, and of being stuck in a small place. Greatness and bigness. That's what it means, the chayrus, to be free. So it comes out, Rav Kook says, b'chayal gadol, with big force, the davening. The gevura shamayla, mefalash nesivus lahamayin tefillos nidachos, and it carves a path for many, many, many tefillos that were rejected, for many tefillos that were stuck with him in prison. All those tefillos, he now carves a path, an underground, a tunnel. And he goes, he whistles and he calls the rest of the davening for the last 20 years. All those tefillahs, all those ashrays, he calls them, and now all the tefillahs come rushing out in the tunnel. Like Rabbi Nachman says, in Lukut Amaran, it says, Chana l'Hashem ve'esahi leimah. Moshe Rabbeinu davened, tough, kuftesi davened tefillahs that they weren't accepted, right? his tefillah wasn't accepted. Even though he davened so many tefillahs, they weren't accepted to get there to Israel. So what happened to those tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu? He davened a lot of tefillahs. What happened to them? He davened the gematria of Eschanan. What happened to those tefillahs? So Rav Nachman explains, Veschanan Hashem be'ezahi. The Moshe Rabbeinu said, I cried out, I screamed out to Hashem. Be'ezahi leimer. The time will come and those tefillahs will speak once again. Be'ezahi, in the future. Leimer. They'll be heard. They'll be heard. Any time that you and I go to Eretz Yisrael, it's on Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs. We think we're big knackers. We're zeichet to go to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, because you made you got a paycheck, so you take your paycheck, or you have mileage from your credit card, so you're a big chuchim. So now you can go to Eretz Yisrael. But I was 80s and Bobby's couldn't even go, and now we go to Eretz Yisrael. People go. So where are you going? Where were you for Shabbos? Oh, I was in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos. He made it back in $25. Isn't Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos? We have such chusim to go like that back and forth. So where I went, I met a kid. What are you doing? I thought you were in yeshiva. He said, no, my cousin got married. Your cousin got married. Came back for a chasna. Cousin. That's pretty good. Cousin got married. Came for a chasna. I'm not going into the whole svara behind that. Why someone's leaving yeshiva and then have to recuperate for a week afterwards and takes a week to prepare. Because of a cousin's chasna. No, it's a different discussion. But to go to Eretz Yisrael, we're zoich to go to Eretz Yisrael. We have schiz like that to go to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. Anytime you or I think of Eretz Yisrael, it's with Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs. To go into Eretz Yisrael, yeah, and you're crashing, you're standing there online, and you get there, you know, and you have to stand online to get through, and you're looking at your watch, and no, I have to get to Yerushalayim, I still have to daven, and this and that. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. When those tefillahs will be able to go through, because obviously Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs are very big, and Hashem made a big, big iron wool for different reasons. That's not for now. But when it's not chas v'shalom, those tefillahs are not there. Be'ezahi leimer. All the tefillahs nidachas shall atzmo shall kol ha'olam kulay. Not only that, this is particularly great. When you open up the prison door for yourself, there's a lot of chevra that they're able to get out with you, even though it's a different chevra. Other people's tefillahs. It's an amazing thing. That's a big thing in Kabbalah. We're not going to go into. What do you mean? So you'd say, may let my own tefillahs get out of prison. But you know how it is. When someone opens up the gate in prison, there's a lot of guys that get out. A lot of guys. Not only the guy that opened the door. Not only the one that opened the door. He for sure gets out. But when he opens the door, once the door is open, there's no telling what's going to happen. You have a time when there could be a big, big run for it. So that's what it means when a person does tshuva, what the Gemara says, that he does tshuva and he brings the whole world out. Umiskayim by davki min hametzah karasika, anani b'merchavka. I called to you, I didn't let go, I didn't stop davening, even when I was in a narrow place of confinement and my tefillahs were held back and I couldn't have any kavana. I kept on davening, then anani b'merchavka, Hashem's going to throw open the door, he'll dig you a tunnel, he'll open up the gate. Hashem li lo ira, Hashem is with me, I'm not afraid. Mayasa li adam means what I've done to myself. Forget about other people. We're our worst enemies. There's an expression they have. Not what other people did to me. Everybody has tainus against other people. You have tainus against yourself, against that part of you that's not good. I'm not afraid. Ma'aseh li'odem doesn't have to be other people. I'm not afraid. Ma'aseh li'odem, the damage that I've caused myself. Hashem li ba'ezrai. Hashem will miraculously help me. Bani era b'sinai, I will see the fall of my enemies. The fall of my enemies means of those things that held tshuva back, that held tefillahs back. The fall of my enemies means all that that was in the way. All that that was in the way of my tefillahs. All of that that was in the way of my tshuva. I will be zeichet to see that, just like our ancestors saw in Shushan Habira. Yeroi sam yachad tchelus Mordechai. when they were able to see, like Yehudim Haisa Oyre V'Simcha V'Sasim V'Yikar, when they were able to see, Ro Kalaf Seas Es Yeshuas Elokeinu, to see with their eyes as Yeshuas Elokeinu, the Purim was Machadish to us something that the Ishvitzer says that we didn't have by any of the Yomtiv, because by all the other Yomtivim, when the Kriyas Yamsuf was finished, the ocean looked like an ocean. When the moon stopped falling, the world looked like a world. When the sun finally set, then the sun was a regular sun. But after Purim, the world's never been the same. Because since Purim, a Jew is able to look at the world and see that the world is not in the way of being a Jew. It's not in the way. It's not like after Kriyas Yamsuf, the ocean looked like an ocean. The world after Purim doesn't look like a world anymore. The world after Purim looks like a costume, a mask, that's all. After Purim, we know that the world is just a costume. And when a Jew looks at the world with the eyes of Purim, there's nothing in the world that could block him from being a Jew, because it's just a costume. All the miracles before Purim, it was a chashuv thing for a moment, but then the world became a world. And the world looked like a world, and the world is impenetrable. I can't get beyond the world to God. But after Purim, the world looks like a joke. The world is a joke. The world is a costume, it's a disguise. That's the Simchas Purim. That the role called Af Se'ar is Esi Shuas Elokeinu. With all the other Yom Tov, we heard about God, and then it was finished. But with Purim, we saw and we continue to see Him through the mask of this world. It doesn't hide Him anymore. We see through it. The game is over. Since Purim, that's the laughter of Purim. The Shchek of Purim is when a Jew is able to laugh and to say, "Ah, Rabbi Hashem, I know that it's you behind that. Ah, I know, like the happiness that a kid has when you come in with a costume, he doesn't know who it is on Purim, and the kid says, 'Oh, that's you, Moshe, that's you, Yanki, I know who it is.' And then you take off the mask, and the kid's so excited that he was right. That's what it means to be a Jew after Purim. That I know it's you, Rabbi Hashem. The ma'akiv, what about the ma'akvim? The ma'akvim, the masks of Haman and all the other things, on Purim, when they take it off, and then a Jew is able to look and say, "Ah, it's, and even when this mask is on, it's not really on. He says, I know behind that mask, I know, Rabbi Shalom, it's you. I know that it's you." And when Mashiach comes, Rabbi Shalom is going to pull off the mask, and then he's going to show us, "You're right. It was me all the time." And it's only from Purim we have such eyes. Should be lichtig for our eyes to see the truth, and we should be zeichet to see the sechazeni and b'shurchalitzin v'rachem b'gulashem amitus. Amen.